B-Pod Studios.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bagel Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion. Okay.
Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chest.
Oh! It is Toucher and Rich. We've got one of the Bankroll Boys here. Lifshatz out, got a drink in a hand, toes in the sand, off the grid.
What does Dan do to relax? That's what I
he's very secretive about where he is. This is very strange.
We don't know.
What country would allow Dan Lifshatz?
But you are right. What does a guy like him do to relax?
Well, seriously, I can't see him relaxed in any way, shape, or form.
How is he not on his phone?
Ever seen the movie Hostel?
Oh, yeah.
For some reason, I see that being what he does to relax.
I mean, he must be
going the rest of the day.
But like, Jesus.
He's in some like Eastern European country bidding on like killing a guy.
But this kid's on everything. Like, he's like halftime odds, quarter odds. You know, like he's always He's always betting.
Sure,
always.
Yeah. Well, maybe he still is. I mean, he does. He still has a phone with him. He's got to be in a casino somewhere, you would think, or in a slaughterhouse. The Bankroll Boys brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Download DraftKings now. Use code SportsHub during sign-up and start feeling the sweat like never before. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And Joe Murray, I just saw you tweet something out, the updated odds for the NBA championship winner, and this is strange. Right now, the Phoenix Suns, they're at the top right now with plus 300. And then in second place, your Boston Celtics at plus 525. I don't get the disrespect for the Miami Heat. Miami Heat right now. Oh, I'm sorry. They're Golden State Warriors are in second. This is not listed in order. Golden State Warriors is at plus 375. Yeah. But the Celtics looks like in third. The Miami Heat at plus 700. I think that the Miami Heat, especially with Chris Middleton hurt, might be the only team in the East that I don't think that there's a way the Celtics can beat. I think they're too well coached. You're never going to see the kind of breakdown we saw last night. Because unlike Steve Nash, Eric Spoelstra will have an answer. He'll be able to figure something out, and he's got the talent to make it happen, too. And he has the most frustratingly face-punchable sixth man in the league in Tyler Herro, who has been absolutely on fire
sixth
this season.
Sixth man of the year.
There's no question.
And they're holding Trae Young down right now, who's just can score a ton.
Yeah, that is the only team, I think, in the East that the Celtics can't beat. Without Chris Middleton, they got the Bucks.
And Jimmy Butler's gone off for 45 points.
Yeah, that team is just, and nobody gives them any respect. And I don't know why. All year, nobody's talking about the Miami Heat. And they've been in the top of the East almost the entire season.
But you say that, and I ask you this question off air, and Joe, I'll ask you this question on air. Is there really a favorite? I mean, Devin Booker's hurt now, and you saw Chris Middleton get hurt last night. Memphis is struggling with Minnesota. I mean, Miami's the only team that's taking care of business. I don't know if you believe in Philadelphia or not, but this is as wide open of an NBA playoffs as I've ever seen.
I would take a shot at the Philadelphia 76ers, and here's why. Everyone doubts them. Everyone doubts Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
James Harden's a difference maker, and has not been a great playoff performer, but he's a great player. What Joel Embiid did last night, how did they even let him get the basketball on that play? And biggest guy on the court.
But of all the plays you could run, well, first of all, the fact that Van Vliet didn't guard the inbounds is ridiculous. He ran away from it and gave, I forget who inbounded the ball, but you gave him a free chance to find a big guy like that. But how many times do you run an out-of-bounds play for the biggest guy on the floor to shoot a
but
three?
That's
you
why he's never Joel see Embiid,
it.
Though.
I know that, but you never
but,
see
but
it.
But that's the thing. That guy can do that.
See, I think that Nick Nurse neglected the coverage on purpose just so Doc Rivers could once again blow a massive lead in a series. It took them being up three games for Doc Rivers to once again spectacularly blow any kind of advantage he has.
Hey, did Embiid say anything about Nick Nurse after the game last? Because I know he did the game before.
No, he went up to Drake and said, "I'm coming to sweep your ass," as he was walking up. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Embiid's the best. I love Joel Embiid.
So at the best odds, I think they have the best odds, a plus 1,100. If we're talking true value, that's right.
Who you believe can win, but you could also get good cash for it.
So the Celtics at 525, it's the best they've been. We gave Jay Stu a 12-1 ticket. So he has him at 1,200. This is 500, 525. So the other team I like is Golden State. I know that they're plus 375, but that death lineup that they have is going to be tough to beat. But in the East, though, Like, I think the 76ers aren't getting the respect, but it's because they don't deserve the respect.
Okay, I want to play this clip that Adrian Wojnarowski had, and this was before yesterday's game. This was in the heat of everything that Kyrie Irving had done, flipping the middle finger to the crowd. This is before he got fined. And Adrian Wojnarowski has a theory, which is an interesting one, about why all that's happening.
We're going to see more of this in the league. Nothing to do with, there's a different dynamic with Kyrie Irving in Boston. Mm-hmm. But as gambling becomes more prevalent in the arena, people gambling on almost
everything,
everything that goes on with a game, and they're drinking, players, organizations, and you talk to them, they already feel it in the arena. And when people are losing money in real time and they're pointing to a player on the court that said, hey, I bet you to score more points in the second quarter than somebody else, and I lost, you're adding an element to that that we're not talking as much about, but is a real factor in this league. And I think you are going to see more instances of fans being even more vitriotic toward players in this league. It's going to impact the way the relationship between fans and players in real time.
So he's saying the reason that Boston fans were so angry at Kyrie Irving was because of betting, and I would like to kind of send him many an article about how Massachusetts hasn't legalized it yet. Everywhere else, Maine's about to legalize it. You could basically drive like for an hour, and anywhere else you can place a bet, except for massive freaking Chusets. And I guess that he's never heard of Malice in the Palace either. I guess it's this is just something that brand new. I guess angry fans and the vitriol from the this has never happened before gambling was legal. I like Adrian Wojnarowski. I think he's obviously very informed. He's a good guest when we've had him on. That is one of the more idiotic takes I think I've heard from anybody on ESPN, and that's saying something.
Yeah, I got a little insulted just for the simple fact that people have been gambling for 100 years. Like, over 100 years this has been going on. The other thing, too, is your sport. That sport, more than others, you've had officials literally rig games. You've had, like, the mob involved. I mean, it's like, how can you, every night, again, I'm being serious. I think the Celtics probably win this series. I want to respect Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving for who they are. I think if it goes back to Brooklyn, they still have a shot. But I think the only thing that's going to stop the Celtics is the officials they bring in.
Okay, so let's talk about the wrangle. Because you yesterday were, you told us about the ref. The refs, the wrangle, if you are new to the show, that is the ref angle. When you have a ref, how it affects the bets one way or the other. And it is real in some cases. And you've had so much data that backs up track records, and you can predict which way it goes one way or the other. But last night, before the game, your prediction, looking at what they did, said it was favorable towards the Celtics. Now, watching the first part of that game, now, once again, I was in the stands, so I didn't get to see a lot of the replays. It did look like there were a decent amount of soft fouls being called last night. I don't know.
The Al Horford one on a moving pick was terrible.
Okay, yeah, I remember that one specifically. That was awful. I remember there being a Grant Williams one that I was like, why is that being called?
There were 55 fouls called last night.
Yeah. Bruce Bowen? Whatever his name is. He like just... Bruce Brown. Sorry.
Bruce Bowen?
Whatever. He was a good defender.
Dorchester's on. 20 years too late.
Didn't he just like fall out of nowhere and they call the foul? And it's like, dude, what happened here?
Yeah.
I don't think the refs had anything to do with last night's game. But and it's funny, this website Inside Hook got a hold of it. Hey, this wrangle thing. What is this? We've been talking about the wrangle for years.
You know what? I can give you credit. I believe you invented the wrangle.
That's right.
I'll copyright that some bitch.
Sure.
But it is true. Like, listen, it doesn't always win, but when the models that we give, it wins 60% of the time or more. And last night, it comes down to the crew chief, and it favored the under in the Celtics. Now, one official favored the spread, one didn't, but they all supported the under. The under hit last night, and the Celtics won. It went to the wrangle. In game one, it was the over for Zarba. So in two Celtics games so far, the officials alone have dictated what the betting outcome
predicted
is.
How it ended up turning out. That's interesting. So right now, the spread for game three has the Nets favored by 3.5.
How do you guys feel about that?
Dude, I've been saying this for the longest time, that it's going to go 7. And I know it seems kind of strange to say that now, especially after what you saw yesterday, how, you know, Tatum had about as bad of a first half as you could have, and they've all these self-inflicted wounds, yet it was guys like Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams who rallied them to come, you know, they kept them in the game. It just seems like they have too many ways of beating the Nets, and the Nets have no answers.
But game three, specifically to bet this game, and obviously you guys bet and I don't, but just looking at it from my point of view, there's going to be a game where Kyrie and Durant go off. They're not going to get swept in this series. And I think above, if it's ever going to happen, it would be Saturday night. So I would take the Nets.
So you guys watch the league. Do you think they bring in the Foster brothers on game three, or do they do it in game four?
See, I don't have the conspiracy theory of this league that you do. I mean, there are some coincidences that you look at and go, oh, my God. So I guess if it's going to happen, it would be in game three to get Brooklyn back in the series, to extend the series further if you want to go down that road. So TV has more Nets-Celtics games to play. Everyone's watching this series. So, yeah, I think it all lines up for the Nets to win game three and cover.
I think the flip side, too, is can Peyton Pritchard and Grant Williams play this way on the road?
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, remember Terry Rozier was awesome at home. He'd go on the road, and he even choked it at game seven.
But the Celtics have played well as a team on the road at the end of the season. So, yeah. I mean, do I think that the Celtics are going to win? I wouldn't guarantee that. Matter of fact, I wouldn't bet this game. With the Nets minus the 3.5.
I don't even like the 3.5 for the Nets. So even if I'm trying to get the Celtics, I mean, it could be a blowout in game three, and they come back in game four, and it's a close one. You know?
Here's what I think the Nets are missing. It's pride. You know how sometimes you get your ass kicked and you get embarrassed and you see teams and they'll come back and they'll go off. And matter of fact, I thought that Durant was going to go off for like 40. I mean, they're doing such a great job on him. But after hearing like Kyrie in the postgame press conference, it just sounds like he's resigned. Like he's just like, they're going to win this. It's not my fault.
He's conceding to them.
Yeah. I still don't think this is going to be a sweep, but I mean, I said Celtics in seven. I would adjust it to Celtics in six.
I don't even think it's that. I think in Kyrie's mind, and who knows how that guy's mind works, it just seems like, you know what, I need to get the fans back on my side somehow. I don't want to be booed like this the next time I come back here. So I'm going to compliment everybody. I want to make sure everyone knows I have a lot of love for this place, even though I don't. And maybe the boos will be less. Now, that's in his mind. The reality is he's going to get booed just as much, if not more so, in game five because the fans have seen what they've done to him. They've crawled inside his head and sat down and popped open a beer. I mean, that Kyrie can't play here. And even if he scores, there's that little piece of him that won't that is affected, whether or not be flipping fans off. Or, I mean, he shot terribly yesterday in a game that his team had won. I mean, I think that's more along the lines of way Kyrie's thinking. I don't think it has anything to do with what you said.
And the Durant points went under yesterday, which I think he averaged 36 points per game after a playoff loss. And he had 23 yesterday?
Yeah.
27.
But it went 29 and a half was the number.
18 of those were free throws.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see his mom?
No.
By the way,
once again, I was at the game.
His mom was on the sideline, flipping out on the refs. There hasn't been one technical called in the series. There hasn't been a technical called between the middle fingers and his mom.
All right, what's the line on that?
Thought they were going to call a technical on his mom?
Actually, 0.5. There is.
See?
Yeah, well, no. Last night there was a prop bet. How many middle fingers will Kyrie Irving throw up?
I saw that, and I would have bet the under. There's
0.5. It's over under 0.5?
Yeah, it went under.
I'd go over. Yeah, I'd go over for game three.
No. He's done with that. I think he's done with that.
No, it's for anyone or just him?
Him.
Oh. Well, who else would do it? There's like no one else who would do that. No one on the Celtics is a maniac enough to do that.
No, that's true. I'd go under.
But this series, though, the individual player props, which people love to bet, which is different than just the over or the under. The Kyrie one went over. This one went under yesterday. I'd keep my eyes on that Durant one. He has to go off at some point. Even if they lose, he's got to drop 40.
All right. When we get back, we have to talk because we've got a lot of stuff coming up. At 8 o'clock, Nick was out in front of the TD Garden, which is fantastic. This was Celtics recaps. 8:20, Bill Burr will be on. Also, Brad Stevens on at 9 o'clock. But before the 8 o'clock hour, we have to talk about something that happened yesterday at Fenway. And it involves it's something that either the Red Sox did or somebody did that on the surface, until we find out the full explanation, seems like really shameful, like really bad. Something that involved the Red Sox game yesterday, and I think today is going to be a day where this blows up, and we're going to find out what truly happened. And it involves somebody who is beloved in this town and how he was done wrong. We will get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Tusher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
Oh, it's Tusher and Rich. And be listening this morning at 7:55 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see comedian Bill Burr make history as the first comedian to perform at Fenway Park, America's most beloved ballpark, on August 21st. For tickets and info, visit redsox.com/Bill Burr. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. That's coming up at 7:55. And Bill Burr himself, he'll be on the show with us at 8:20. Because I was at the game, and I know a lot of people obviously were watching the Celtics yesterday, but if anybody was either at the game or was watching it on NESN, if you saw the Jerry Remy tribute, could you give us a call? 617-779-0985, because I just basically read a description of what was done. If anybody saw it, give us a call, 617-779-0985, because there's something that happened last night that gives you a little bit of pause. So yesterday, if you didn't know, before the game, they did a celebration of Jerry Remy's life. They brought out, from everything I've been reading, a bunch of his people who worked with him. I believe Sean McDonough was on the field. He was making a speech. They were showing highlights, a big highlight reel of all the things he had done, and you know, some of the best Jerry Remy moments. And apparently it was a feel-good thing that many people who saw it felt that something was off, and that was that there seemed to be a massive lack of Don Orsillo. Now, in some of the highlights they showed, there was Don Orsillo, but I mean, they had all of these different people speaking who were, you know, many of them were there talking about Don Orsillo. And then last night, I saw this. I follow Don Orsillo on Twitter. And by the way, if you want to see pictures of him fishing and making a sweet pasta, Don Tangelo is his nickname. He calls himself Don Tangelo.
Join the Dontourage.
He's got all sorts of nicknames for himself. Yeah, yeah. I liked Don Orsillo. I thought he was very good. I to this day can't figure out why he was not on these broadcasts, except for some sort of weird personal vendetta, it seemed like, didn't it? Like, at the time, there was this weirdness that they didn't like him for some reason or the other, and they basically brought in, you know, Dave O'Brien does a good job.
He's fine. I mean, Dave O'Brien is a national broadcaster, and the sense I got was, Dave O'Brien's going to leave if we don't give him the TV job right now, and he's a national guy, so therefore he's better than Don, so we have to make sure we keep him in the fold. That's what it sounded like to me, but what they overlooked was Don was great.
Yeah,
and at his job.
He wanted to be here.
Yes.
And let's not underestimate what chemistry is. I mean, look at all those clips of them like laughing their asses off. I mean, no one can make Jerry Remy like could make Don Orsillo laugh, and it was like these legitimate laughs. The guy they truly enjoyed being together. And as much as, you know, Dave O'Brien, you know, does a fine job, he sounds just like Don Orsillo. I mean, that's one thing I like when he speaks, but I don't think that the chemistry is, you know, what it was when obviously he was there. So I see this tweet last night from Don Orsillo, and this was after the whole celebration, everything was over. He said, "I was offered the opportunity to do a video message for my friend and former partner Jerry Remy for tonight's ceremony at Fenway Park. Sadly, I was notified by Red Sox /NESN that my video would no longer be needed for tonight's ceremony. Here's my message," and he @'s the Red Sox and NESN. And then he has here written out what he said in his video. He said, "Jerry, hey Boston, Don Orsillo here working tonight in San Diego. I would like to thank the Red Sox for the opportunity to talk about my friend. Jerry, I miss you every day. I miss your friendship, your daily texts, but mostly your laugh. Without you, Rem, I am not in the major leagues today. We worked together 15 years, and the last 18 you battled. I never thought you would lose, the strongest person I've ever known. Thank you to the Fenway faithful and Red Sox Nation. I promise you Jerry knew how much you loved him, and it kept him fighting to the end. I would like to thank the Red Sox players wearing the Remy 2 patch this year. It is so very worthy. To Phoebe and the Remy family, I love you all, and sharing your great pain. Jerry, thank you is not enough for everything you have done for me and my life and my career. I love you, Rem.
What a message.
And according to Don Orsillo, the Red Sox and Nesson figured that that was not be needed. A guy who worked with them all of those years.
That's a message.
Now, real quick, before we comment, Chad Finn tried to contact some of the people at the Red Sox and Nesson and figure out, like, what happened. Obviously, it's enough that Don Orsillo felt slighted. I mean, it's enough that made him upset that it wasn't on there for him to write that tweet and at the Red Sox and Nesson so they know that he's letting the world know, I was told that this video was not going to be included. And Chad Finn yesterday wrote, from what I gather, the Red Sox asked Orsillo to record a video about a week ago. He was hoping to be part of the ceremony, but that wasn't on the table because he was working. Said so he recorded one after the Padres game last night and tried to send it, only to be told that it was no longer needed. He put the Sox also note that Orsillo was a significant, or actually he writes, update with the other side of the story. The Red Sox say they did invite him, but he told them he couldn't make it. Yeah, well, the Padres had a game. When they talked a week ago, there was discussion of a video, but no promise, and ultimately, videos were not part of the ceremony. The Sox also note that Orsillo was a significant part of the Nesson tribute show to Remy, so it's not like they're trying to exclude him.
Videos were not part of the ceremony. Why not?
No, they did do it. So they did do a Remy tribute like earlier, like a Nesson put together, you know, when there's rain delays and stuff like that.
Now, once again, for the people, it's funny, no one actually watched it. Everyone's the Celtics game. But from what I read a description of what happened, and they did show like highlights and stuff like that. But then they had people like Jenny Dell and other people who worked with him out there to speak. And I know Sean McDonough spoke. Are you telling me that you couldn't have put that video tribute after the montage of moments?
You couldn't add 2 minutes to the ceremony. You're telling me you had it cut and pasted so well down to the second that you couldn't have started 2 minutes earlier and added a Don Orsillo piece at the end? He worked with him for 15 years. How many millions of people watched those two? How many millions of people remember the pizza throwing incident was just relived again yesterday because it was the anniversary of it. And Orsillo's part of that. There's so much that happened between the two of them and with the two of them over 15 years. You're telling me there's not a chance that you could have added that at the end.
But the guy who was closest to him during his broadcasting tenure is Don Orsillo. He's the, you know, this would be like not putting Mike Gorman in on a Tommy Heinsohn tribute.
I think that's a really good analogy.
Are you kidding me? And to say that, oh, there just wasn't a video thing. No, you showed a montage. You could have made this. How did you not? This is some weird thing going on with Don Orsillo and the Red Sox, and I don't get it. And it doesn't make anyone look good. And for them to say, you know, according to Chad Finn, he said that apparently it was someone, I don't want to get it wrong. It's either the Nesson or the Red Sox, one of the two, said that, you know, we there was plenty of Don Orsillo in the montage. What are you going to do, not use the clips? Of course. He's sitting there next to him. Of course he's going to be in it. That's because the majority of his broadcasting career, Don Orsillo was there next to him. And the main thing is, it was a big enough deal for Don Orsillo to feel slighted to put that out there. I don't know what the hell's going on with that organization and ownership and Don Orsillo, what he said to somebody that made somebody angry or what.
The whole time he was forced out was weird because there was the countdown. And you remember Don's last game, you know, the Red Sox, the players came out of the dugout and applauded him. Yeah. I mean, they looked up at the booth and applauded him. The players loved him, but for some reason, the ownership didn't, and it makes no sense to me at all because he carried a lot of water for this organization over the years.
Let's go to Sarah. Sarah, so you watched the tribute?
I did. I saw the whole thing. I was driving home from work, and I heard it was starting at 6:45, so I literally ran in the door and turned on the TV, and I saw the video, you know, clips, you know, from when he was, you know, younger and older, and, you know, they just kind of put them in a sequence, and then watched everybody come out onto the field. Not everybody spoke. Very few people spoke, actually. I mean, the fact that they had Jenny Dell there and they don't put D.O. on the screen, everybody, whenever like a player returns to Fenway after they retire, they bring in video clips from all over the place. Right. A robber. I mean, they do this all the time.
They'll bring in some utility infielder who, like, you know, just play with them for like half a season to say something. You're absolutely right.
I know, and I think it's shameful. I really do. There are some things that Red Sox leadership, they just don't get it, and this was one of them for sure.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. I mean, once again, I didn't see it, but it seems to be, like, from the tweets we're getting, that it was noticeable. Like, everyone's waiting for Don Orsillo. Like, you're waiting for it, and it never happened. Let's go to Ben on line four. Ben, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. So, yeah, I missed the beginning of the Celtics game to watch this, and there was an awkward pause at the very end when you're, like, waiting for something else to go on the big screen. They show the fans just standing there looking around, but all they showed was the Jerry Remy patch emblem on the big screen for a good 20 seconds. So it's not like there wasn't time to fit it in. But yeah. I'll say the best part of the whole ceremony was the reuniting of all the sideline reporters. Okay. Jenny Dell, Heidi Watney, Tina Sebastian.
Here we go.
I'll give him credit for that.
What about the guy who did the Dragon Ball Z reference? What's his name?
Gary Streisand.
Yeah, Gary Streisand.
Now, he's at ESPN now. He's big time. All he can't go. He's busy schedule.
Really? Were they all out there? Hazel May? Was she there as well?
That would have fit.
I think the photo had. I think Streisky was in the photo.
Oh, was Streisky in there? How did his hair look?
Tom Karen was there. Who's the guy after Tom Karen, John? You know who he is.
Oh, man. I don't remember.
Somebody said two New England mysteries.
Could have been Eric Fried in the picture.
But oh, there's Eric Fried there for a while. Yeah.
Well, Roach up there.
You want to talk about bringing everybody out.
and no Don. That's crazy. So it's a two New England mysteries. What happened with Belichick and Butler, and why did the Sox let Don go? It is weird, man. Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but I mean, that explanation just, it doesn't make any sense.
Is Lucchino involved anymore, being dead serious?
No. Okay, so from what you remember, and this is once again digging up old stuff, I just remember when the whole Don Orsillo thing happened, I thought it was a Tom Warner situation. I thought it was.
Well, Warner's involved.
He's like
that's
the nesting
one thing,
guy.
That's one thing we found out from the Francona book is that Warner's like, no, Terry, you gotta substitute. It's not sexy enough. It's not playing enough to the fans. And Francona got up and walked out of the room because Warner was dabbling in baseball. Warner's a TV guy.
Yeah.
Warner would be the guy who would ultimately be at the top of the pyramid to make these decisions. I don't understand what Harpo's thinking either. I don't understand why it is that he felt the need to get rid of Don Orsillo in the first place. I don't understand why it is that the Sox as an organization didn't feel the need to call Don Orsillo and say, look, we need you
in
this.
We want you here, man.
We want you here.
Yeah.
And I read the same thing you did about Chad Finn, and it was on top of this. But whether it be a miscommunication, there shouldn't be a miscommunication. Don was 15 years in this organization broadcasting baseball games with Remy. He should have been part of that.
I just think
they should have made sure that he was part of it.
I think his message was outstanding. And the fact that no one got to experience that live or see it is very unfortunate.
Ooh, this is weird. I don't know. I would need to confirm this, but it seems like somebody kind of who is close to the organization ended up tweeting back to Don Orsillo, what's the purpose of your tweet?
Oh, yeah.
Glad to see Don keeping the focus on Jerry on this special night. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't know. I have to, because I've got it sent by a few people, and I don't know if this is true, but ooh, that is.
But how do they get out of this? What do they do?
And by the way, what are you supposed to do if you're Don Orsillo? Like, you wanted to, you wanted to send that message to his family. This was a place that you absolutely had a voice. You were as close to him as anyone if you're going to do that tribute. What do you expect Don Orsillo to do? Oh, ho-hum, I guess it's fine. No, I want the world to know I love this guy, because now there's probably people who think that I'm a jerk and I didn't leave anything because everyone else did. He's probably like, everyone's probably wondering, why didn't Don make something? Why didn't Don say something? Of course you're going to respond. And he did it in the most perfect way. He was like, hey, listen, I made something. Somehow it didn't get in there. Here's what I had to say to him. I love you, Jerry, and I love your family. I mean, how is he the jerk in any of this? Be in his shoes for a moment. Everyone's like, well, where's Don Orsillo? Because apparently it was obvious. Many people said that it was blatant that he wasn't in it. All right, let's go quickly to Nicole on line two. What's up, Nicole? How you doing?
Hi. I did like Ben. I watched it before the Celtics game, and it definitely was noticeable. It was still a beautiful ceremony, but it would have put it over the edge to have Don there, or in video form. Like, that's it. They had like a full 2 minutes of Dirty Dancing with the patch on the screen and put a video on. And also the sideline reporter thing was pretty cool. But yeah, it was definitely, Don was a big part of why I love Jerry too, the two of them together. And I think it's sort of like the Terry Francona thing where he was such a big part and now you're just going to ignore it. It was odd.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird. It's weird, but and hopefully today they make some sort of statement that that puts this all in perspective.
Show the video.
Because the one that of course, yeah, I mean, but it's too late now. I mean,
but but this team's about damage control, right? Like they get a problem and then they make it big. They might as well bring in the music, you know, cherish the memories, bring it all back today.
Cherish the memories stuff. Yeah, that was not good, but. Chad Finn, as I said, the explanation he was given just doesn't seem to make any sense. All right, 617-779-0985. We got Bill Burr coming up at 8:20. Also, tickets to see his show at 7:55 and Drunken Recaps at 8.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's TNR.
It really is just a reality check of just how no one cares.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum, return to Pritchard. Shot clock at 7. Pritchard down the right side, attacks the paint, puts it high. Out the window and in! The Nets let the entire clock tick down. They didn't foul. And then Peyton Pritchard, in the biggest game of his life, just goes the distance and ends the suspense.
Brooklyn! Where you at now? Where you at, Holmes? Hey, JC, how about you, Homer? How about you got that one? Woo! This is unbelievable.
Okay, on my second listen, I think that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to sing the New York song.
Okay.
That's Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, but he's saying Brooklyn instead.
Brooklyn!
I'm convinced that's what he's doing.
Okay. If you say so, I just think it's Max being Max.
You speak Max better than I do.
I do, and what does it say if I don't really understand it?
Well, listen.
I work with him a lot.
I'm not
positive.
In fairness, if there was any game that was conducive to a unicorn show ponies, where's the beef moment?
Yeah.
It was last night. I mean, just a phenomenal series. It's everything that you've wanted as a Celtics fan so far. You got to see this team, you know, two games in. What you've seen is a team that, to get into the playoffs, did not back down, did not manipulate the standings, and just said, we want home court advantage. We're not afraid of anybody. So they get in there. They end up taking on Brooklyn. In game one, you had...
And by the way, proudly so, the rest of us, including me, I'll raise my hand and say I was part of that crew saying, I'm not sure
I
want to deal with Brooklyn specifically because you still have Milwaukee and Miami and Philadelphia to deal with. It would just, it's that extra layer that would make it that much tougher. But the Celtics are like, no, we're going to do what we do. And if we play Brooklyn, we play Brooklyn. And the first two games, they haven't cared. First two games, they've figured out ways to win against two incredibly good players.
And that's the other thing, too, is that, you know, second of all, why this has been just everything you want in a series is it's got, you know, a perfect villain in Kyrie Irving. And we saw how in after game one, where he almost ended up beating you single-handedly at the end of the game, ended up getting, you know, like pissy at the end of the post game, like talking about the fans, saying the fans don't really bother him, yet he continued to talk about them, and that made it fantastic. He gets fined. You won in game one with your stars, which was fantastic, and their defense. And then, and defensively, you locked down one of the better players in the league. And then in game two, when the stars weren't playing well, you ended up having guys like Grant Williams in the first half that kept you in the game. Who would have ever expected to him be the best player on the court during the first half of that game? And then in the second half, it was a defensive masterclass. You held Kevin Durant, best player on the planet, to 0 for from the field.
0 for 10.
Oh, for 10, which I think is some sort of record. It's like
for him.
It's the longest. It's like the most field goal attempts he's had with no make in a half or something crazy like that. And I think with him and Kyrie together, it's the lowest shooting percentage they've had as a team. Kyrie ended up being a non-factor, and then afterwards, you know, Kyrie completely changed his tune. He sounded like a man that's just defeated. He talked about how great the Celtics were and how that their window for a championship is open now. And I'm like, dude, if you're a Nets fan, how much would that piss you off? You're the team that's supposed to be winning a championship.
The window's supposed to be wide open for you guys. Yeah. That's why you put this team together. That's why you and your buddy Durant came to Brooklyn. Yep. When you're playing together, the window's supposed to be open for you folks.
Yep. And here's another reason why the series is great is because you know that at any given moment, that Brooklyn team could rip your heart out. Like, there's still, I mean, for everyone who's feeling comfortable about this, and I know that stat's out there, it's like, what, 40-1 if you have, like,
the Celtics are 40-1 in playoff series.
And they're the
when
one.
They go up two games tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where people will forget that you still have Kevin Durant on the other side who can just go nuts. It sounds like, and it looks like right now they've got no answer for him, and it sure as hell looks like they don't have the coaching to get him through it. Because Steve Nash, his whole plan yesterday just seemed to be, all right, you guys figure it out. I mean, there was no originality, no creativity, nothing that they changed up. It was just a bad game plan, and Udoka came at him with everything, and man, I just punched them in the mouth defensively.
And also, take a look around the league at what happened last night. Milwaukee, the team you're supposed to play in the next round, should you get by this one, lost Chris Middleton to what appeared to be a non-contact knee injury last night. They say the knee is sprained, but he's going to have an MRI today. And Bobby Portis took an elbow from Tristan Thompson, of all people, last night. And his eye was bleeding pretty good when he left. So you have their second-best player and their top bench player both down on the same night. And over in the Western Conference, you have Phoenix, who's been the best team in the league the entire season, lose Devin Booker to a non-contact hamstring injury last night.
A couple of games.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to miss at least a couple of games. You don't know how that hamstring's going to respond. Yep. It just seems like the clouds are parting here.
And the other thing,
it seems like the Celtics not only have come up with two very impressive wins, although last night, in my mind, much more impressive than game one, it seems like the clouds are parting here, and there is a highway that the Celtics can get onto and get going here for a long playoff run.
You also learn this Nets team is soft.
Well, early on, did you feel that way? Because Andre Drummond was strong early in the game.
Oh, man.
They couldn't really figure him. I think he got worn down is what I think.
I think they're soft physically and mentally. And we've seen
more Kyrie,
cases.
More Kyrie than Durant. I think Durant isn't soft.
Durant is getting bodied.
But he's not soft. He's going to the line.
Yeah, he's trying to find other ways.
He's finding it. He's making.
I just give him credit for those.
He's figuring out ways. He's saying the right things afterwards. The guy who is soft is Kyrie Irving. That's the guy. And for all you Boston fans who booed the crap out of him in the first two games, it's working. You're inside his head at this point.
I should actually be able to answer this, but is there a type of person who, no matter how hard they work out, just can't build muscle? Is Kevin Durant that guy?
Well, but I mean,
it's just in a world of action figures on the NBA court, he's like, how can you play in the NBA and not accidentally bulk up some sort of
muscle? That was his knock coming out of college.
Yeah, he couldn't like bench press anything.
And it was he's still the best scorer and shooter in the world.
He's still amazing.
When you're able to do that at 6'11", you can pretty much write your own ticket.
But you heard him after the game complaining about, and this is not a knock on Kevin Durant. As a matter of fact, I thought it was a great thing for him to say because he was being completely honest. He's like, dude, they're killing me. And I've got to figure out a way to get out of this.
But I just think that he's been on other teams where he's had the support.
Maybe, but if you didn't hear this is Durant. It was pretty telling.
They're playing two or three guys on me sometimes when I'm off the ball. They, you know, mucking up actions when I run off stuff. I see Horford leaving his man to come over to hit me sometimes. They're just playing. Two or three guys hit me wherever I go, you know, and that's just the nature of the beast in the playoffs. And so I got to be more patient, but also play fast sometimes too. And off the ball, just be able to move a little faster, screen a little harder for my guys to get free. But yeah, just watch film and get better.
All right. Perfect. That's exactly what you want from your number one star.
Yep.
I'm getting the crap knocked out of me. They're sending three guys. I have to figure out a way to score 30 points. got to figure out a way to lead my team to a win. And you kind of juxtaposed that with what we got from Kyrie Irving after the game last night. And you're like, oh, my God.
Here's the difference between what Kevin Durant said and listen to Kyrie Irving afterwards. This is, once again, one game after flipping everyone the finger. I want that smoke. Or he's like, I want to know if you're about it and all that. This is what he had to say.
No, he
was talking about the Celtics here.
No, I'm not surprised at all. I just think the timing is right. Their window is now for these young guys that are on this team that have matured. They've been through series together. They've been through seasons together. They've been through battles together. And I got a chance to experience some of that. And now being on the opposite end and going against a healthy Celtics team, obviously without Robert Williams, you're just seeing there's a difference in their verve, the way they approach the game. And also they have a set offense and defense that they rely on. Ime's been a huge part of that. But you got to give credit to that guy that's sitting in the president's role as well now. That all of a sudden, just we don't get to see him as often. Brad Stevens.
Ooh, was that a shot at Danny Ainge too?
Listen, if I was a Nets fan, that would piss me off so bad. It's like, yeah, the window's open for them to win a championship.
But I mean, you not only could that be a shot at Ainge, it's also it's weird because he was not the easiest guy in the world to coach while he was here. And Brad Stevens had to deal with that. And now he's like, oh, Brad, you know, it's great what he's done. I'm sure Brad is looking at that going, really?
Nash is looking at that.
Thanks.
Too,
Is that a shot at Danny Ainge? I think everything Kyrie says has some backhanded shot at somebody. Yeah. Like everything he says, he's got a little snipe in it.
You don't understand me. I'm operating on a level. Rich,
this goes to your villain thing though.
Yeah, it's great.
He can do it and say it, and it has meaning. But yesterday was the first time he didn't do it on the court, and I just wanted to bring this up: the Ramadan thing. He did eat yesterday.
Well, because the sun had gone down. He left the court and got a banana,
I think. I'm just throwing out. Why was he bad? Was it the defense?
You know what?
Or was it him just having a bad night?
No, when we talked to Brad Stevens, he's exactly right. He's had players before, probably Kyrie being one of them. And maybe even, you know, it's speculated that Jaylen Brown's doing the same thing in fasting for Ramadan. But, you know, he said, you know, throughout history, during the playoffs, there's been many guys who have fasted. And they've put up huge numbers, and he named a few of them, and he's exactly right. You know, you can still play well. You can't use that as an excuse, especially for last night when it was at night, and you could drink water after
We credit them for doing it when he couldn't when he was fasting, but then he wasn't, and I don't know. I just think it's something to look at.
You know what? It's an interesting factor of it, but I don't think that it affects the game that much. All right, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see comedian Bill Burr make history as the first comedian to perform at Fenway Park, America's most beloved ballpark, on August 21st. For tickets and info, visit redsox.com/Bill Burr. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. That's caller number 10 at 617-779-0985. We will have Bill Burr himself on at 8:20, so just about 25 minutes away. But when we get back, drunken recaps from outside the Celtics game last night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.